But I want to turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. I'd like to read a couple of verses here for a text, and then we will be looking at a few other scriptures, not too many, I don't think. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Verse 16 and verse 17 will be our text. Proverbs chapter 16, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Now, we just want to read the passage and these two scriptures, then we'll make some comments about the context of it. It said, "Thus saith the Lord." I hear you still turn it. So, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now Jeremiah said, God told him, Jeremiah said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, today that You might bless and help me as I say the things that You desire. I pray, Lord, that it won't be my message, but rather Yours. And I trust that You'd give us understanding, help us to understand. And I pray, Lord, that we might live the way You want us to live in this wicked and perverse world. Guide now and keep, for it's in Jesus' name I ask and depend upon You. Amen. In this passage, in the book of Jeremiah, if you'll look at the timeline, it's it's in chapter 6. The date there is 612. And then in chapter 7, it's 600. And, of course, it was in the year 606 that Nebuchadnezzar came down and took Babylon, took the Israelites captive, took them off to Babylon. Jeremiah lived during that time. Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel all lived in the same time frame. They were contemporaries. They lived together, or they lived in the same time frame. But the Israelites had gone away from serving the Lord. They had begun to do things their own way. They are going to face the consequences of just neglect of the Word of God. Jeremiah is oftentimes called the weeping prophet, because when he preached to the Israelites and he wanted them to hear what God had to say to them, they just simply wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't. They called him a traitor. They said, "You're working for the enemy. You're working for the Babylonians. You're not working for us. You call yourself a Jew, but you're really for the nation of Babylon that's coming in to take us over. You're not for us at all." And yet, while all that was going on, there were the kings that would come and ask Jeremiah, say, what's going on here? And, of course, Jeremiah would tell them. But the Israelites just simply would not listen to what God has said. And because of that, the Israelites went into a 70-year Babylonian captivity. They were taken out of their nation. They were removed by force and taken to a foreign place. There were people that came in that they couldn't understand their language. And, of course, that was all prophesied in the Bible. But the Israelites just would not listen. They didn't get that way overnight. But the Israelites went away from God a day at a time. And if you think about the history of the nation of Israel and how that God had moved upon them in days gone by, and they were a special people. They were a people that were loved of God. They were a people that God had made a nation. God had called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. And God had said to him, "I want you to go into a place where I'm going to show you later, but right now all I want you to do is to follow me." And Abraham began to follow the Lord, not knowing where he went. And God had given Abraham a promise and said, "I'm going to cause your children to fill this earth, and I'll make a great nation of your children. But Abraham and Sarah, of course, didn't have any children. And in process of time, God came to Abraham and told him that promise again. And Abraham said, "Lord, I don't have anybody. All I've got is this Eliezer, my head servant here, and I've got his children. I guess that's one." God said, "No, that's not right." So then in process of time, Abraham and Sarah still had no children. And then they took it upon themselves that they would have a child by Hagar. Sarah gave Abraham her handmaid. And then, of course, Ishmael was born. But that wasn't the one either. There was a time later on that God came back to Abraham and was telling Abraham again about the promise. And Abraham said, "Lord, let Ishmael be the child." And God said, "No, it's not going to be Ishmael either." You know, what's all that about? It's about this. God gives promises. And we try to work things out our own way. And God says, "It's not your way." And we say, "God, it can't be your way, because your way is going to make that happen." And God said, "Just stand still." And so Sarah, at 90 years of age, and Abraham at 100 years of age, had a child. Even though a year before that, when God told them that you're going to have a child, Sarah laughed. I mean, when the child was born, she really did laugh then. Now, the first time, it was kind of like mocking, but the next time, it was like, "Wow, this is the greatest thing in the world." Here's the thing. God can work the impossible. God, we know that, but sometimes we forget that it's so. The nation of Israel, they continued to grow, of course, under Abraham's son, and then he was married, and then Jacob was born, and then Jacob, of course, was 71 years old, and when he had his first child. And you think, "Well, boy, this is too far gone." Well, in the next 20 years, Jacob had 13 children, including the girl, you know. And so had 12 boys there in a row, and then had the girl. And they lived in the land of Canaan, but they didn't own any of it. Abraham had to buy a place to bury his wife, and there's where Abraham and his wife were buried, and of course some other ones were buried there. But then there was a drought in the land, and the Israelites went down into the land of Egypt. And you know the story, how that all worked, and how that Joseph went before them. God sent Joseph beforehand. He said, "Well, that's impossible. What a list of circumstances." Yet God worked it all out, because God was the one that knew beforehand about all of those things. And even though the Israelites themselves, as far as Jacob and his boys, as far as they didn't know what God was doing, it seems that Joseph understood, because when the children came down there, he had dressed himself and revealed himself as being Joseph, the one you sold into bondage. "But I just come beforehand to save your lives." I mean, he understood that. And the boys, they had trouble with that. Even, and they lived, you think about it, they lived down there for 17 years in Egypt before Jacob died. And when Jacob died, those brothers came to Joseph and asked again for forgiveness. It had been 17 years, and they still didn't get it. And Joseph said, don't come to me with that. You know, God sent me beforehand to save you alive. It's not anything that I'm doing. Here's what God is doing that counts. But you see how God was working in a miraculous way. But after, of course, Joseph died, they buried him, put him in a coffin there. They embalmed him, put him in a coffin in Egypt, because he said, "My bones will not stay in this place." But the Israelites grew content in the land of Egypt. They grew happy down there. They grew lacking the onions and the leeks and all the things that they had until there was a Pharaoh that came up that did not know Joseph and began to torment and trouble the people. And then they began to cry out to God for relief. And God sent Moses after 80 years. It's a long time. And some of those generations, those people, no doubt died before they saw the salvation the Lord sent through Moses. But in process of time, the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan. And there God gave them a great victory. And you know how that the Israelites had to wander around down there for 40 years. And that generation that came out of Egypt didn't believe God. They had to die in the wilderness. And the next generation, the ones that the previous generation was afraid for their children, it was the children that had the victory, came in and took the promised land and captured the land. I'd like to tell you that after the Israelites got into the promised land, that they dwelt in safety all the rest of their days, and they're still there, but that's not the way it worked. Because of unbelief. The Israelites, individually and collectively, and sometimes a tribe or two at a time, went away from the Lord. I'm thinking of the tribe of Dan, who actually lost their inheritance before it was done. And don't even show up in the book of Revelation. It was in the tribe of Dan that Jeroboam put that idol and said, come and worship here and don't go down to Jerusalem to worship. That was where the other one was, of course, at Bethel. But the Israelites went away from God. The Bible talks about the book of Judges, gives us that book, where that explains over and over again how that the nation of Israel was blessed of God, and then they would be complacent, and they would just kind of lay back on being what they ought to be before God. They would look around at the things that they had and they would say, well, you know, we've got peace, we've got prosperity, we've got contentment. And then they would begin to worship false gods and then God would bring chastisement upon them. The book of Judges is a period of time about 400 years long. Divided into two sections, of course, the time when the Israelites were in captivity and the time when they were not. But the times that they were being blessed of God, you know, the max was like 80 years. And so the generation died off, and the generation that had not seen the oppression or the delivery of God, the next generation let down their guard. And they began to do things that were not right. They began to worship false gods. They didn't understand where everything was coming from. They didn't get it. And because of that, God brought oppression upon them again. That's over and over and over again in the book of Judges. And primarily, the thought in the book of Judges is that there was no foundation, that every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And of course, God brought the nation through the book of Judges. And then finally, when the book of Judges is ended, Israel, as they, I suppose, looked at their history, and they began to say, we need a king like everybody else has got. And so God gave a king after it was Saul. How long did Saul rule? He ruled 40 years. Let me tell you, the last 38 years of Saul's rule, he had an evil spirit of God upon him. The next king was King David, a good king. Of course, the next king was David's son by Bathsheba, Solomon. And then the kingdom was divided, and you know the story. But I just wanted you to think about how that through every generation of the nation of Israel, how that every generation, it seems, they had to learn for themselves what God wanted. And that if they did not do what God wanted them to do, that God would bring oppression and affliction upon them and they would go into captivity. And then they would repent and they would come out of captivity. And God would bless them again. And then as time rolled on, they would take for granted the blessings of God and began to fall away from doing what God told them to do. And then God would bring oppression upon them and affliction upon them and they would go into captivity again. Over and over again, it's that way. The nation of Israel is composed of people. And you would say, we're not like the nation of Israel. Well, no, in a lot of regards, we're not. But we're still people. We're still people. And sometimes we have to go through oppression and affliction before we'll ever repent and turn back and do the things that God wants us to do. But notice now, in the book of Jeremiah, and we've read these two passages, the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 and verse 17, here's what God said. This is what God is pleading with the nation of Israel to do. And oftentimes, God pleads with us as well. He pleads with us in the quiet of our heart. He pleads with us in the times when we've not done what God wanted us to do as far as just reading our Bible or spending time in prayer or just spending time alone with God. We've not obeyed the Lord. Maybe there's things that you know you're not doing right now that you ought to be doing. And here's what God is saying to you. He says, seek and ask for the old paths. Now, when he's talking about the old paths here, I don't think that he's talking about throwing your car keys away and not having a car. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think he's talking about turning off your lights and turning off your running water. I don't think he's talking about going back to the days when we had our transportation was horse and buggy like the Amish and some of the Mennonites do. I don't think that's what he's talking about. Ask for the old paths. I don't think he's saying here that television is wrong or the computers are wrong. I think they can both be used wrong. But they're just devices. A car is not necessarily wrong. It's what you do with it. Let me give you this. There's nothing necessarily wrong with having a boat. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. There's nothing wrong with guns, is it? But you don't need to be shooting folks with them. You know, I mean, that's we know that that's so. There's nothing wrong with a gun. It's what you do with it that makes a difference. So when the Lord here is saying, and here's the Lord that's pleading with His people, and He's saying, stand ye in the ways. Plural, not singular. Stand ye in the ways. And see and ask for the old paths. That is, the old principles that families are built upon and the old principles that our lives are built upon. Stand for the old ways. The ways of morality, the ways of righteousness, the ways of peace and harmony and contentment. Stand looking for those things and ask for those things. That's what He said. And He desires that. And He said, this is the good way. This is the good way. We all believe a lot of things are wrong and immoral, then we ought to stay away from those things that are wrong and immoral. You oughtn't to go near them. If you know something's wrong, don't go near it. That's pretty simple. It's not even complicated. That's what we ought to do. If it's wrong, don't do it. We've got all kinds of excuses, though, for doing it. Don't need that. She says, and walk therein. Look what he's saying. And this is a plea from the Lord to the nation of Israel. And I think we can take it as a plea that God is giving to us. Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. In other words, this is the way to live. Every day and every day. And you shall find rest for your souls. I want you to look at that verse real carefully there. And you think about how the world today is in unrest. And you think about how that unrest in the world oftentimes kind of bleeds over into us. Now we know that the world is not walking in the ways of the Lord. We know that the world is not standing in the old paths. We know that the world is not walking that way. We ought to be different. He says, in this place, you shall find rest for your souls. That peace and that contentment is there and it's available. But it's in the old paths. It's in the way, it's in the principles of the Word of God. But notice here what the nation of Israel said. They said, we will not walk therein. We don't want that. We just don't want that. They want to do it our way. And because of that, they're going to go into condemnation. In verse 17, here's something else that happened. Also, this is in addition to the God pleading with the nation of Israel. And He used Jeremiah. He used Jeremiah to call out to the people. But He said, there's something else that we're going to do here. There's something else. I'm going to sound a trumpet. He said, also I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Say, what in the world is that? Well, if you go back in the nation of Israel and you study about the trumpets, you'll find that the trumpet in the nation of Israel oftentimes sounded various feast days and holy days and days of worship of the Lord. In the Passover, there was the trumpet that sounded, announcing that this is the Passover. It's the time to worship the Lord. You know what the nation of Israel did, though? Well, they forgot. No, they didn't forget to worship on the Passover. They simply didn't do it. They simply didn't do it. They didn't have time to mess around with that stuff. They had to get on with their lives. They had things to do, places to go. They had all kinds of activities that occupied their minds. They didn't have time. Even though they heard the sound of the trumpet, they didn't have time to do what the trumpet said. Had the Feast of Unleavened Bread was announced with the sound of a trumpet. Holy days were announced with the sound of a trumpet. But the Israelites went on with their life. They didn't have time. That's kind of like this U.S. of A is today, isn't it? You know, when I was over at Willow Hill, Illinois, and they still got that big bell. Remember that in the belfry? I tell you what, that was an experience for me, because I had never been in a church that had a bell. But you know what we did every Sunday morning when services started? We rung that bell. I guess they still ring that bell, don't they? Letting the whole community know. It's time to worship. And you know, and all the community comes in to worship. No, they don't. No, but there'll be some there that'll come in to worship. That's like what's happening right here in verse 17. When the trumpet is sounded, that's like the nation of Israel had the trumpet. And they would blow that trumpet. It's time to worship. And what did the people do? Well, they said, we don't have time to come worship. We don't have time. You know, we mock some of the Eastern religions. We kind of mock some of the Eastern religions. You bear with me a little bit. But we mock the Eastern religions who have their prayer times every day. And regardless of what they're doing, when it comes time for prayer, and the music sounds or whatever happens to call everybody's attention, all those people will bow down. They have their prayer rugs. And they bow down and they worship their false gods. You think about it. But the sound goes out today to Baptists. This is what God said. And the Baptists do kind of like the nation of Israel and said, we will not walk therein. I got too much to do. I got too much to take care of for myself. We mock them because they're worshiping a false god. They're bowing down to a false god. They're one of those people that are dying for a false god, and we mock them. But sometimes there's believers that won't even ask for the old paths. They want to do things their own way. Now that's sad, isn't it? Which one do you think God will bless? Well, He's not going to bless those people who are worshiping a false god. He's not going to worship them. He's not going to bless them. You think He's going to bless Baptists that do not answer the call to worship? He's not going to do that. You think about it. And what a sad thing it is. When I think of the nation of Israel, these are God's chosen people. These are the people that is the apple of His eye. These are the people, the nation that He loved above any nation. And they said, we will not. We will not walk therein. When the trumpet was sounded, they said, we will not hearken. And I think of all the trouble that the nation of Israel has gone through. When I think of the terror that was in their heart when the foreign nation came in and took them captive up to Babylon. And the warriors there were speaking in a language that the Israelites couldn't even understand. They didn't know what they was even saying. Dragging them along, taking them out of their houses and killing them and taking everything that they had. And there were some of the Israelites that escaped. They stayed in the land of Israel. And Jeremiah was also allowed to stay. And those folks came to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, would you just ask the Lord what it is that we should do? And Jeremiah said, I'll ask. And Jeremiah went off and he prayed. And it was about a week, 10 days later, I forget exactly the time, that Jeremiah came to the people and he says, the Lord has given me this word. Here's what He wants you to do. He wants you to stay in the land and don't be afraid. And if you want, if the Babylonians come to take you captive, then you go with them. And you go up there and you build houses and you plant trees and you do all of that. But whatever you do, don't try to escape the hand of God. The Israelites thought about that a little while. They came back to Jeremiah and they said, you know, Jeremiah, we don't believe the Lord's talking to you. We don't believe that's the word of the Lord at all. You told us that we shouldn't resist these invaders. But we're saying to you, we're going to Egypt. And God said to Jeremiah, you tell them, if you go to Egypt, you're going to be destroyed. And they went to Egypt. And they were destroyed. And there was a remnant even of those that was left. But here's the thing. The nation of Israel, they're God's chosen people. But my, because they've not asked for the old paths. They've not sought the face of the Lord. And you read it here in verse 16 and how sad it is when you think about how that the nation of Israel, even after they came back from Babylonian captivity and through the decree of Cyrus, king of Persia, that they were allowed to go back into the promised land. And they were able to build that temple again. My, when they laid the foundation of that temple, those old men that had seen the first temple, they saw the foundation laid of that new temple. They were old men because they were in captivity for 70 years. They came back. Daniel, by the way, was not one of those. He stayed. Didn't mean he's unfaithful. God left him there. But they wept. They wept. Because they saw that God was going to bless them again. But you know, in process of time, there was a decree came down and they stopped the building of that temple. And then later it was started back up. And they got it built. And Nehemiah comes along. And Nehemiah comes down and builds a wall around Jerusalem. And the people still wouldn't listen. Nehemiah pulled out some of their hair. Ezra pulled out his hair. Nehemiah pulled out some of theirs. But those people still wouldn't listen to what God said. They wouldn't. They went on their merry way. And in process of time, when Jesus Christ came, they didn't even know who He was. They rejected Christ. Why? Because they had developed their own religion that they were satisfied with and were at home with. And they felt comfortable with their religion that they had devised out of their own minds. But they rejected Christ. In 70 AD, Titus came into Jerusalem and took the nation of Israel captive, dispersed them throughout the whole world, and they were dispersed for 1900 years. You think about it. You just think about it. God brought them back to the nation as a nation. There were some world wars that were fought. No doubt a big reason that a lot of the world wars were fought was because of the Jewish nation. God's dealing with His people. Dealing with the Gentiles. Bringing in the end of the world. But those people, God's people, the Jewish people, have suffered because they rejected what God said. And they said, "We will not walk therein." When the trumpet sounds, we will not hearken. How much blood has been shed by the Jews because they would not listen to what God said? You study about the Holocaust. You see videos of the Jews who died by the thousands, millions of Jews died and other people died in that oppression. Buried in mass graves. Their teeth pulled to get the gold. Their hair pulled to make rugs. Families separated from little children. All that suffering. Agony. Because they said, "We will not do what God said." To me, it's a real lesson for us. The Bible says that that these things that happen to the nation of Israel are examples unto us. They're examples. I will read this passage, the book of Revelation, if you would, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 in verse 14. Here is a letter that Jesus Christ wrote to a church. Now, back in the book of Jeremiah, it was the Lord that spoke to the nation of Israel. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, it is Jesus Christ who is speaking to His church. This is one of His churches. This is the church at Laodicea. Let me read this to you. Now, here's what Jesus said. And I want you just to compare what the nation of Israel said and what the church at Laodicea says. You know in the Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, that the church there, or that the nation of Israel, they said, "We will not walk therein. We will not hearken to the trumpets. We will not listen. We're going to do our thing." Notice this church. Revelation 3 and verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." And boy, He does. He knows the good and the bad. "That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." He's writing to a church. He's writing. These are people. These are people. Just like the nation of Israel in the book of Jeremiah was people. I mean, they're individual people that said, "We will not hearken. We will not listen. Don't talk to us." In verse 17, said, "Because thou sayest..." And here's what they're saying. They see the Israelites did the same thing. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not." There's the key. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The book of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Lord told the nation of Israel, "Walk and ask for these old paths. Seek these old ways, because there you're going to find rest for your soul." You know, we live in a nation. We live in a people. And oftentimes we are a lot of nervousness, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. We need to walk in those old paths. That's what He's saying. He said, "You don't even know. You don't even know. You look around and you see all the wealth and all the things that you've accumulated. You see that all the good things that you have that I've blessed you with, but you don't even know. You don't even know." I would just point this small thing out. If God has given to you all the things, the material things that He has, why has He done that? Why has God given you all that stuff? Why has He done that? What is money for? When you get more than you need, and sometimes we have to understand that our needs are not exactly the same as our want-tos. We understand that. But you know, God gives us wealth. God gives us money so that we can do things for Him and not just do things for us. Here's what He says in verse 18. "I counsel thee." That's like, this is my advice. This is my advice. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed." See what He's saying to this church? It's like He said to the book in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. Go back and ask for the old paths. These are the way of peace. This is the way. This is the way. It's not the new way at all that I'm telling you about. "So that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." And this nakedness is before God. not before men. And there's enough nakedness before men, because any more people don't even know what nakedness is. They've not read what God said about it enough to even know. But you know, sometimes God's people don't read their Bible enough to know what God expects either. Say that to our shame. Then he says, "And anoint thine eyes with eyes, save that thou mayest see." See, that's part of that seeking and asking and going back to the things that God has. Taking God's eye save. And clean our eyes up that we might be able to see. Because sometimes we just don't see where we are. We just don't see what God expects. Verse 19, he says this, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." In other words, don't think you're going to get away with what you're doing. Did the nation of Israel? No. Are we? No. We're not going to get away with it. Not at all. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Ask for those old ways, the old paths. Find out what God has to say, those principles. He said this in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." This is not a message of salvation. No, it's not. It's a message where Jesus Christ is desiring, he's standing, he's knocking at the door. The door is the door, the church house door. It's not the heart's door, the one that's lost. It's the church house door. Because Christ is on the outside and the people don't even know it. He's standing at the door and he's knocking at the church door. "If any man hear my voice," look at that. "If any man hear, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We'll have a good time together. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." These last two verses, verse 20 and 21, are speaking to individuals in the church. If any man open the door. You say, well, we need to open the door of the church. We need to open the church house door and let Jesus in. Well, the way that works is that each one of us who are members of Independence Baptist Church would hear the voice of the Lord and open the door, and we would go back to those old ways of what God is saying. Let me tell you, this world has wrong ideas about serving the Lord. It's got wrong ideas, and a lot of those wrong ideas fall over onto us. I want to read you one more passage. I think I might have told you that was the last one. I'll read one more. The book of Hosea. And you know this one. Maybe I should just quote it to you, but I think it might be good if we would read it. The book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. One of those little minor prophets, you know. It's not a very big book. It kind of scrounges around back in there, but it's there. Hosea chapter 4. In verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. You know this passage well. Oftentimes it's preached from, it's kind of picked out of the book in large. Look what it says. My people, don't you think about this. This happened to the nation of Israel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's the nation of Israel. And that's what God did. He brought His chastising upon them. And God will do the same thing to people today. God will do the same thing to His church today. He said so in Revelation chapter 3 when He talked to the church there at Laodicea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected. They have rejected. You read back Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, 17. You read Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea. They have rejected knowledge. They have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Here's what he's saying. Parents, your children will pay because you will not teach them because you rejected the Word of God. Or, your children will be blessed because you heard the Word of God and you taught your children what God said and you made them stay in the Word of God. How would you like for your children to pay? Repent. It's what the Bible said. It's what the Bible said. Repent and do these things. Let us not fall away. Let us listen to what God is saying, is our prayer. Let us use the Old Testament as an example of how we ought to live and how we ought to be. I want to say in closing, I know what it's like to sit in a congregation and to listen to a preacher preach. I know what it's like when your mind wanders here and there. And you're wondering where he's coming from. Or if he'd just shut up, we could go eat. Sometimes it's that way. But it is my prayer that God would help you to hear what's been said. And that you would read these passages for yourself. And that you would seek the old paths. Because it's good for you. It's good for you and your children. It's good for you and your life. You think about it. It's good to do what God says. But if you don't take the time out of your busy day to read your Bible, you are the one that is rejecting the counsel of God. No one else. Okay, we're individually responsible. As a church, we're responsible to do what God wants us to do. You pray for me that I might be what I need to be, because I certainly need to be right with the Lord. We want to stand, if you would. Today, if you're lost, Brother Brian, you come, please. Today, if you're lost, and we pray that you might recognize before God that you are a sinner, that you've sinned. Let's go ahead and stand. That you've sinned in the sight of God. And that you come to Him with your sins and just confess, enumerate them, list them out, tell God what you've done, ask Him to forgive you. Pray that God will save your soul. And He will. Salvation is in the hand of the Lord. He's one that gives that freely. It's my prayer that God will bless today with salvation. If you're here today and you're already saved, you've never been scripturally baptized, we invite you to come and accept scriptural baptism at the hand of Independence Baptist Church. We pray that God will lead you, and know that He will. Pray that God will help us each one to follow where He wants us to go. Okay? Brother Brian.